We are in Miami, Florida.
What are you doing?
Wait, you're just going to take over like that?
Whose show do you think this is?
It is your show.
What are we going to do? Are we going to do the open?
I mean.
Please, excuse me. Here we are in Miami. Chael Sonnen and the other guy, Daniel Cormier. Stick around. We're going to have a great show in just a moment.
Welcome to Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm Daniel Cormier, and this is Chael Sonnen. Chael, I'm sorry, man. I kind of confuse people when I talk first. I should lay off of doing that.
Get a text last night from Dana White. Invites me to dinner. Place called Poppy's Steakhouse. But all he says is, be at Poppy's, and he tells me a time. I go down to Poppy's. I was basically wearing this outfit. It was a different shirt, different colors, a white one. They stop me at the door. They tell me there's a dress code. You can't wear a hood. Turns out Dana did not invite me to dinner. The text went to the wrong person. I get inside. I'm completely embarrassed. They brought me a baked potato. They put caviar on top of it. Now, as soon as I say caviar, I just turned everybody off for me. Daniel, I've never had anything like it. It was fantastic.
Because Miami is the best, and there is no place better for food outside of Louisiana.
You know how embarrassing it is when you think you got invited to dinner, but and they stop you at the door?
I would have ran. I would have rushed his dinner and made him let me sit with him.
I didn't even tell him that you text. I said nothing. I was embarrassed. The only way he'll know is when he tunes into the show. What are we here to talk about? Fighting or something like that? Yeah. What do you want to discuss?
You know who will not be embarrassed?
Tell me.
Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Oh, my goodness.
This weekend, this guy defends his bantamweight championship for the first time against Marlon Chito Vera. But we will constantly talk about who he is as a fighter. But what I want to talk about, Chael, is the star quality, the star ability, the potential for Sean O'Malley to be the next guy that explodes out of the box. What makes him so special?
Danny, you finished a fight one time, and you leveled with the audience. Joe Rogan's holding the microphone, and you said, guys, I have a job, which is to sell fights. I have to say a lot of things. And you went into it, but you were very real with the audience and in this great moment. I use that as an example because it's the first answer to your question about O'Malley. O'Malley understands he needs to do this. He embraces this. You have top guys in divisions. You have top stars and top draws in divisions. There's only a few guys. There's 767 guys under contract. Six of them move the needle. And those six understand there's one face. Connor's got it. Adesanya wants it. And O'Malley's coming for both of them. And that is your pecking order. And they start trading around. I mean, I got to say, there's a few other guys that do everything just right. But come on, look at this
it's
guy.
This. Yeah, it's this.
This is
right?
Great.
It's this, Chael. He doesn't come out of character when he's in front of people. He understands that you expect a certain thing from Sugar Sean O'Malley. You expect big. You expect the private planes. You expect the nice cars. You expect the colorful hair. And you expect the big personality. And when you know that and you give them that, and then you deliver in terms of athletic accomplishments, people tend to buy in. Right now, Sean O'Malley has got it going on. But I just feel like right now, we are still at the tip of the iceberg of what this kid can be as a star. Because if he goes out there and he delivers on Saturday night from Miami, Florida, the roof will explode. Look, man, him winning the belt in the way that he did, the similarities to Conor McGregor with the step back right hand, the step back left hand from Conor, it calls you back to those moments and you just get that feeling something big is going to happen for this guy. But understanding it, recognizing it and giving it to them is one of the ways that you become a star. Sean O'Malley is a star, and you feel it from the moment he walks in the room.
Daniel, I remember being in Boston. I go to a lot of fights, and I love it, and I'm fortunate. All of that nice stuff you're supposed to say, I don't always remember where we are. There was such a reception for Sean O'Malley when he walked out to take on Aljo Sterling, of which he was a 2.5 underdog. He walked in there. There was 18,000 people, and they were on their feet for him. That is a pressure. That's something that kids sit at home and dream about. You dream about it until you get it, and now you've got to perform. He did. I felt like he stepped up. I've seen him deal with other adversity. Think about his fight with Chito where he's hurt. Think about the fight that he has to do his post-fight interview on the ground with Joe Rogan laying next to him because he's so injured. He finished the fight anyway. He knew he was up 2 rounds. He's doing the math. He hung in there. I'm just sharing with you. It doesn't appear that the lights get too bright. This is personal, though. This is a little different. This is his first rematch. This is the guy that's coming after him instead of the other way around. There is a couple of question marks for our champion.
Absolutely. And it's one thing to be the guy that's chasing. It's another thing whenever you are the one that is being hunted. Now, one thing about Sean O'Malley, we just spoke about how he understands all these things that allow for him to become a star. But what makes him so good? You know what? He's had a unique opportunity coming off of the Contender Series because not only did he win, he got the Snoop Dogg rub right away. Snoop being there, it's more pressure. how has he steered into this and not only lived under a spotlight from day one, but started to make that spotlight bigger, and he's just capitalizing on every single thing. I mean, this guy openly talks about smoking all the time, growing, doing all kinds of, but people love him. Yep. And no matter where he goes, he is accepted and loved by people. What allows for him to resonate with people like this, like Justin Bieber and Shaq? They're going up to this dude like, hey man, we want a piece of your time.
It is very hard to not like him if you meet him. And then the second thing is he's entertaining. Whether you're cheering or booing, he has a commodity aside from the performance. And most fighters' only commodity is the punches and kicks. It's the performance.
Yep.
He got a little podcast that he does with his coach, Tim Welsh. Real good on social media, visits with the fan. But that stuff goes a really long ways. And when you start making claims like, I'm the best and I'm the biggest draw, to your point, when you say it and then you back it up, it can really move you a lot. Most guys would need 3 or 4 years of being undefeated to accomplish what he can do with 2 victories and 2 shots on the microphone.
Absolutely. And, you know, for some, it would seem as though all this added pressure could become a bit of a distraction. It'd be hard. Like, how do I maintain the idea of who I am and still be the champion of the world? Because I tell you, Chael, when you're fighting, and you and I both know this, when you're fighting at the highest level, it's more than just a fight. And you and I both spent time on the microphone. You much better than I did, but I made attempts. But it was like, I thought about it, right? When I knew what I wanted to say to John Jones after I won that belt, I had thought about it. I kind of put it in my mind what I wanted to do. So now you're not only thinking about the fight, but you're thinking about what you have to do after the fight to progress. Do you believe that Sean, at his age, it's all being so new, can make sure that this doesn't become a bit of a distraction and overtake what is most important as we head into the fight on Saturday?
And try to imagine how many things are on O'Malley's minds. Like, you got to deal with Chito Vera, which is personal. That's the true number one contender. Chito Vera put to sleep Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is a lock for the Hall of Fame. Okay?
Yes.
Puts him down. He's the true number one contender. So, okay, you're thinking about him, and it's personal, and you're getting called out, and you're trying to sell tickets, and you're trying to make 135 pounds, which isn't easy. Oh, by the way, you've had a couple of injuries. Set that all aside, because guess what Dana White does? He announces if Chito Vera, for any reason, can't make weight or can't pass the commission, you're going to be fighting Merab on 1 day's notice. Oh, by the way, you got some guy named Nurmagomedov coming through.
Yeah.
Peter Yan's as dangerous of a fight as I've ever seen. Quite frankly, he is so dangerous of a fight. I realize that that's already been dealt with, but I'm just speaking to the power of the 135-pound division. So if you're in Sean's spot, I mean, you got your eyeball on a lot of things. Some guys have a hard time focusing. Some guys have to focus. I don't know which kind he is, Daniel, but his attention is getting pulled in a lot of directions right now.
A lot of different directions, but he seems to be handling it really, really well. I spoke to the kid yesterday, and he was so confident that he's going to get the job done, and I believe a lot of the reason so many are drawn to him is because of that confidence. Also, hey, anytime you can get the UFC to make a change, like giving you pink shorts or giving you camouflage shorts, you know they believe in you. But I'm telling you, when a champion walks out there in pink and gold in Miami, Florida, it's going to be so perfect. I don't know. But in the co-main event, Chael, Dustin Poirier takes on Benoit Saint-Denis.
Yes.
Right? This is a banger.
Yep.
But Dustin Poirier is a guy that we have seen for a real long time. He's been around. We all love him. We know what he means to the sport of MMA. But as you age, you start to look to what's next. Dustin sat down with Brett Okamoto, and this is what he had to say.
No, it's coming. I can't do this forever. I'm 35 years old. Mm-hmm. This is my, I don't know how many, 40th professional fight. I have a lot of amateur fights as well. You know, I have a family to be there for. And I can't love something so much that it, because every time I get in there, Saturday night, a piece of me is going to leave that I can never get back. Mm-hmm. And I've come to terms with that every time I step in there. And sometimes it's not that way, but 95% of the time it is that way.
Yeah.
Just the way I fight and the kind of fights I get involved in.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but I can't love something so much where it takes away from what's most important. Fighting is just something I do.
You know what sucks about that for me? It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I hate when we see these guys that we have come to love so much, that have fought and given us so much of themselves, start to look to the end. Because it reminds you that there's going to be a day where we lose guys like Dustin, and they'll be us, right? I just want to make sure that fans understand that we are still living in a time where we get these guys. Because You never know when they're going. Yeah. And then they start talking about it, it just sucks.
One of your most glorious moments was one of those disappointing moments for wrestling. It's when you pinned Melvin Douglas at the Olympics.
Yes.
But that was the end of an era. Now, I'm only saying this. I don't like where Dustin's going with this, quite frankly. Dustin Poirier is an underdog. I don't agree with that. This fight got moved to 5 rounds, which favors Dustin Poirier. He remained as an underdog. I do not agree with that. I've always thought the odds makers have it wrong and the narrative has it wrong. But now I listen to Dustin, and I can tell that he's starting to hear some of that noise.
Yep.
And it sounds as though he's at least entertaining that. This fight, if you're going to think that Denise is going to beat him, and by the way, it's not a commentary on Denise. He's good. He's not as good as Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier is amongst the best fighters. Teddy Atlas himself said he's a top three boxer within the sport. This guy that finished Michael Chandler on the ground. St. Denise is not ready for this, not in a 5-round sold-out pay-per-view atmosphere. He's just not, unless Dustin lets him in. And that interview right there brings me concern.
You know, it tells me that he's very aware, right? He's very aware of the challenge that's ahead of him. And when he came into the fighter meeting this morning, I asked him, because, Chael, I had no idea he was an underdog. I was operating under the assumption that he was favored to beat a guy that's not fought in the top 10 before, a guy that's never been in the pay-per-view, a guy that's never fought for a championship, a guy that is just kind of starting. They tell me at one point Dustin was a plus 200 underdog. So I asked him about it. And he goes, DC, my whole life I have had to overcome. So this is just another situation of having to overcome. So what that tells me is this. Dustin Poirier had a tough life. I can tell you that growing up in the same town as him, it was not easy for Dustin Poirier to be who he is today. Dustin Poirier is drawing inspiration from that. He's saying, I've done this time and time again. I have always been overlooked. I was a kid in Louisiana that went to a school that was almost 100% black, and I was good. And I made it out, and look at me today. And I think he's drawing inspiration from it. I think he needs to, though. But, yeah, I don't love it. I just hate.
Do you concede to my point, at least?
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
He's letting this in.
Yes, he's taking. It feels like he's taking note of everything going on around him.
I can't believe it. I thought he would dismiss that. You know, when they talked him into fighting St. Denise, it was, why am I going to fight a guy? I'm a big star, and he just got a win.
I laughed at him.
I did, too. And then all of a sudden, it was actually the sports book. The sports book came out and put him as an underdog, and all of a sudden, the narrative changes, and so does the tone coming from Dustin. Look, if history is a trajectory to the future, there was once a time 9 years ago when he fought a young man named Conor McGregor, and he did not believe he belonged. He was doing just fine in the contest, but he did not believe he belonged because neither did other people, and he found a way to lose.
Yep.
They rematch, and this is a broad stroke statement, but I don't think either one of them was meaningfully better. I felt like they were the same guy, but Dustin now had this. Dustin stopped him, and then came out and he stopped him again.
Yeah.
That's not a commentary on anybody other than a compliment to what Poirier can do, unless he doesn't believe it. I'm getting a little worried, Daniel.
Yeah, Dustin had become the interim champion by the time he fought Conor again. He had beaten Max Holloway and so many other great guys that he carried that confidence. I am not saying that he is not confident in this fight. What I am saying is he's trying to draw inspiration. He has taken note of what's happening outside of the octagon because it bothers him. But I'm going to tell you this. If I know Dustin Poirier, and I've known him for a really long time, it will serve as nothing but motivation for him to go and stick it to people. Because that nothing is sweeter to someone from Louisiana than sticking it to him. So when Alabama's the number one football team in the country and we beat them at LSU, we feel good because I told you so.
I love it.
Even if we have lost more games than we won, we celebrate as if we won.
I love that analysis. If I may ask you a question, though, as a champion, when this, and I want to take you down memory lane because this fight has taken some very weird turns from a narrative standpoint. When this fight was announced, people couldn't believe it, and they're even saying, hey, Dustin, don't accept that. Don't take the risk. You know, you just fought Gaethje. You're a champion. Listen, Daniel, that fight got made. He was a 2-1 underdog. They come out 48 hours later, and they make the announcement that it's not 3 rounds, it's 5 rounds. That made it a little closer, but still made him the dog. Here's my only question. Does 5 rounds favor Dustin? I think it does. Am I wrong?
It does.
I think Denise isn't ready for that, is he?
It does, and Benoit is aware of it. Because he said this morning, he goes, in 5 rounds, I believe that Dustin will rely on his experience and the times that he has spent doing this to carry him. He goes, I know that he's extremely tough. He has got his mind set solely on Dustin Poirier. Look, Benoit Saint-Denis he's an assassin, bro. He's a Navy SEAL in the French military, and he's an absolute savage. But this is a massive step up from number 12.
Massive.
The biggest fight he has had to this point is against Matt Frivola. He knocked out Matt Frivola. Chael, when he called out Dustin Poirier, I laughed at him. On the commentary table, I said, Benoit Saint-Denis has about as much of a chance to fight Dustin Poirier as I have of winning the lottery.
Of even getting the fight.
Getting the
contract. I agree.
There was no way Dustin would take the fight. Dustin takes the fight. He said he needs a win. He goes, I lost my last fight. I've got to go get a win. This guy's hot. Let's see what happens when we step in the octagon. I'm excited about this. I think this one has all the factors to be the most explosive fight on the fight card. Five rounds. When those dudes hit the curtain, Chael, that place is going to go bananas. You know, passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Earlier, we were talking about Sean O'Malley, the star, right? There are metrics that you look at inside, and Sean O'Malley is here, and then there's a gap,
sure,
right? And then there's Dustin Poirier. But then right under Dustin Poirier is Kevin Holland,
sure,
who welcomes MVP to the octagon this weekend. When you look at that, what do you make of that fight and the excitement level for it?
First off, MVP, I'm very happy and welcome MVP. I watched him in the other organizations, and you know, he's really done a very good job. I would like to say this. It's about time something good happens for Kevin Holland. Like, I feel like that's a well-promoted fight, and that it was great to get that matchup that a lot of people are looking forward to. Kevin Holland has stepped up on time every time. He fought five guys in 1 year,
yeah,
one time. That includes Jacare Souza, and agreed to do a grappling match, rest his soul, with Anthony Johnson 1 week later at heavyweight. The guy is the real deal. When he thought he had takedown defense deficits, he went out to AKA and sought your guidance. And I just really respect that. I really appreciate that. In some regards, though, when you are the guy that steps up and is willing to do things that other people aren't willing to do, sometimes your only reward is that you get asked to do more things that other guys don't want to do. I'm not certain that that's the case here. I feel like it's a pretty good matchup for Holland. I won't give you a prediction on it as far as Holland, but I will tell you, generally when guys first come to the octagon, they underperform. Whether they win or not, they underperform. Example, Eddie Alvarez, first time, loses,
this guy,
goes on to be world champion.
But does this guy have the ability to underperform. You've watched him
MVP.
Over the course of his career. It looks like he thrives off MVP.
Yes.
It looks like MVP just shines in those moments. Like, I'm asking you, as a guy that's watched him more closely than most, do you think this guy, who just loves the spotlight, loves to dance, loves to be the center of attention, has the ability to underperform? I'm asking you to step out on a limb right now.
I will tell you, in the history of the Octagon, a lot of guys have a struggle performance, not always outcome, performance-wise. I think it's also an interesting match. Kevin Holland does some of his best work on the ground. The thing he's most proud of is his black belt under Travis Luter. But he'll stand up. He gets roped in to getting the oohs and ahs from the crowd. He gets roped into throwing those kicks and throwing some punches. MVP is not the one.
No.
There's some guys you don't play with. Play with MVP.
Yeah, you don't want to play with MVP if you're Kevin Holland. And I believe that one of Kevin Holland's greatest performances was when he fought Michael Chiesa and he just followed the game plan. He knew that Michael Chiesa was susceptible to a Darshoke. He went and got him in a Darshoke, got the victory, got the submission. Like you said, Chael, he is so proud of that black belt from Travis Luter. But this fight right here is going to be crazy. And MVP, I'm going to pull the curtain back, has a special walkout. Guys, this is the main card. You know the main event, O'Malley Vera. Then you got Poirier versus Saint-Denis, Holland versus Michael Bennett Page. But what about Jack Della getting a chance against Gilbert Burns? And the former champion, Piotr Jan, takes on Song Yadong, who might just be the biggest puncher in all of the bantamweight division. Chael, we got a segment. Headline hunch, right? What is your hunch on what we will be talking about come Monday morning? I got mine, but I want to hear yours first.
We're missing one. We're missing one, which is Almeida. Almeida versus Blades, main event of the undercard, but I'm just sharing with you, like, that is number one contention implications. Curtis Blades already shared the cage with Aspinall. Not to mention, Curtis beat him. I don't need a correction on how it happened, but Curtis did win. It's not as though Aspinall is going to deny him the opportunity. And Aspinall personally has already been speaking in the media about Almeida. It's a very meaningful fight. I think a little more meaningful for Almeida if he can win than Curtis, perhaps. That's a very hard fight. That's a feature bout. That is proof of how loaded this card is.
Yeah, because those guys are fighting in the main event of the prelims. It's crazy, but we're going to Brazil later. It might happen. Here's my hunch. Okay. Chael. We're going to be asking on Monday, can UFC 300 live up to what we see on Saturday? This fight card to me is going to be so good. There are going to be so many moments that we will be wondering, can the next one, the one that is promising to be the greatest fight card in history, live up to what we see from South Beach? I'm telling you, dude, this fight card is so stacked. We talked about the placement of the card, all this other stuff. Can 300 live up to what we see on Saturday night?
It actually can, but this card, I think it was a surpriser even for Dana. Dana White had another fight on this card. He ended up pulling it off because his card was so low. He had Gary versus Jeff Neal. He ended up booking that in Anaheim a few weeks ago. That was supposed to go down on this card. At some point, the boss looked at it and goes, you know what? I've given you guys enough.
How can I give you all this and give you UFC 300?
Can't compete against myself.
You cannot compete against yourself. All right, so here we go. Your boy, my boy, everybody's boy, everybody loves him, Conor McGregor. He's back in the news, but not for Roadhouse this time, Chael. He's back in the news because Conor McGregor has a schedule. They asked him, do you want to see you versus Diaz again, make it happen? He goes, I wish for this fight on Mexican Independence Day in the Sphere. Then I want Chandler in June, Diaz in September. I have let this be known. Michael Chandler, who's always close to Conor McGregor's ear, he was listening always. This is going to be a special camp for me. I've never been away from competition this long in the last 22 years of hand-to-hand combat. I'm laying the foundation now. I break him within two rounds. We're 114 days away from it. Look, Ryan Clark and I used to talk about this all the time. Michael Chandler is a little hungry for this fight. Like every time Conor talks, Michael Chandler replies. Yep. But what do you make of Conor and his idea of what he wants his schedule to be?
Do not count on any of this. We've heard many announcements from Conor. We heard that he was going to fight Chandler on June 29th, an international fight weekend at 185 pounds. But 4 days before that, we heard directly from Conor McGregor that he was going to be boxing Manny Pacquiao. So my point is, though, is actually to support Conor McGregor. I believe he's sincere. I believe that Conor McGregor wants to do the fight, is willing to do the fight. I believe he wants to work with the organization. He's willing to work with the organization. Daniel, there appears that there is something holding that fight up. Generally, in a situation like this, somebody cracks. Chandler either leaks to us what's really going on, Connor tells us what's really going on, or the UFC comes out and says, hey, look, this is the skunk at the garden party. Nobody's doing that. Everybody's playing it close to the vest, and I think Connor is sincere. I think Connor wants the fight. I think he wants the sphere. I think he's willing to headline. I think he'll take on Chandler. I don't know what's delaying this.
Why is that?
I don't know.
It's such a weird thing where you have two guys seemingly ready to fight each other, wanting to fight each other. It's a massive fight. And if there was a fight that you would put on UFC 300 as a main event, everybody would have tapped into that one. So I don't understand what's holding it up. But I got to be honest with you, man. I can only be hurt so much. I can't buy it. I'm not buying it. You're better than me, but you might be the guy, if you were a girl, that would get cheated on. Your boyfriend would tell you, hey, I won't do it again. No, I'm just saying, your boyfriend would tell you, I ain't going to do it again, I promise you. And you'd be like, okay, baby, I understand and I believe you.
Do you remember when I told the story about the potato with the caviar? Okay. And you corrected me because I was getting a little off topic.
Yeah.
I'm returning the favor, buddy. What were we talking about?
Yeah, dude,
somewhere like, on the sphere with McGregor.
I cannot trust Conor McGregor.
Oh, okay, that was
Conor
the point.
Conor McGregor could tell me time and time again he's coming back. I can't believe it until I see it, Chael. Please don't get cheated on by him again.
But do you believe that he wants to? That's more than I'm speaking. I think
is it the UFC
that is running into a problem?
I don't know.
Can I give you a prediction? I have no inside information.
Yeah,
this
you
is,
do.
This is a guess.
Okay.
I feel as though Conor, right, for a main event of a pay-per-view, which is where Conor has to be, he cannot do anything but a pay-per-view the way that his contract works. It actually calls for pay-per-view participation. To do a main event and not have a title and not be a contendership, quite frankly, they don't even have a weight class that they want to fight at because it doesn't affect the rankings or everything to do with it. That's just not the way that Dana does business. My point, I believe with no information that Dana White is willing to book him, he's going to put him in a co-main event.
No way, Chael.
And I believe that
that
is why Conor is not agreeing to the fight. I have no evidence, DC.
Chael, you're out of your mind, man. He's not going to be a co-main event.
Well, you brought up 300. I mean, for example, we can all agree 300 is going to be capped off with a title fight. There's no title on the line.
Yes, I get it, and it's hard to put him over to all those guys. But, I mean, we don't have a title fight for June 29th. But I also know this. I don't know that Conor McGregor will be on a fight card with another champion because, one, you're making a ton of money off of Conor, not fighting Conor, but also because your champions don't want to be the co-main event, which, and by the way, is as absurd as anything in the world.
It's against policy, right?
Yeah. Plus, they're stupid.
Sure.
If they put Conor McGregor in the main event on my fight card any day of the week, I'm collecting pay-per-view points and I'm going right to the bank in the co-main event. I did it with Brock Lesnar. They said, hey, Brock's there. Jones is out. I said, put me as the third fight from the top. Just keep Brock Lesnar on the card. I don't care.
I want you to just stay with – I feel like I'm losing you a little bit. So you talk about it from the perspective of Conor, and we know that Chandler wants it. Let me ask you to answer and really think about this from the perspective of Dana White. If you believe your biggest star – and Red Panty Night is still real. It is still McGregor. If you believe your biggest star has one walk left, can you tell me anybody that goes out on top, they got to pass the torch, and what better way to do it than have somebody – encore when he fights. I'm just sharing with you. It's promotion 101. This is my guess. No inside info. I think Dana's willing to book him. I think Dana's going to co-main event him, and I think Conor's not agreeing to it.
I don't know, Chael, man. You got
a stretch.
Yeah, you got a great creative mind, though, man, and that's why we all love you. Chael, that's why we all love you.
But this is called the no-sell.
Yeah.
I mean, no-sell. Okay,
I can't do it, Chael. I can't do it. I want to, but I just can't because it feels like we will both look pretty good until he's in the co-main event, and I look like an idiot.
Well, think about it from Chandler's perspective, though. I mean, while you're holding out for a fight that you're owed, but you are remaining unemployed.
You've got
to show up to get – how long can you do that if you're Chandler? If you were to make a guess, this is a family man. I mean,
if I'm Chandler, I would have already fought. I would have moved on a long time ago. And we will discuss this. Trust me, we roll back to that. Guys, now it's time for our new segment. It's called Five Rounds with DC and Chael. Chael, round one, you got a minute. Let me explain the rules. We got a minute to get through these topics. You and I both. My first question for you, Chael, is this Piotr Jan's last run at making the Bantamweight Championship run?
Oh, yes, and that's very tough language when you start talking about it, but make no mistake, 135 pounds is moving fast. It's moving so fast that we have an alternate fighter who's not only weighing in for this fight, he's already been named that he's going to take on the winner.
Yeah, he's already the number one contender. Here's my thing. Piotr Jan is in a very tough situation. He has lost to the main players in the championship picture. He's lost to O'Malley. Don't matter what nobody says about the fight. He has lost to Merab Dawalishvili. He's lost to a number of people back-to-back. It will be very difficult for him to find his way back to a championship, but it starts with trying to get a win over a very dangerous Song Yadong.
Yeah, I will tell you this. As far as the title run, what the question specifically is, if he runs into a speed bump. But moreover, when you start to reach that age and you've reached that mountain, you've been champion, I mean, in all fairness, when you have a loss, when you were a main event, you start working your way down the card. You're never done with this business, Dano, but you will wake up one day and it's done with you. And I don't want to go that hard, but we're not just talking about not getting the title shots here. We're talking about hanging on to contracts.
Absolutely. And staying in the bantamweight division, chill for round two, Merab Dawalishvili, who just beat Henry Cejudo in Anaheim, is weighing in as the backup fighter.
What a stud.
Yeah, he is. My question for you is, though, who is this a bigger nightmare for if the weight is missed by one of them, Sean O'Malley or
Chito Vera. The problem would be for Chito, and only because O'Malley's been staring at this guy for a while. O'Malley got in the ring for a face-off. This guy stole his coat. You remember that? When O'Malley's got no coat, he's got to walk out there topless. This was great theater. But I am sharing with you, I know a lot of guys that have retired, Daniel, particularly from our sport of wrestling. More of them retired because they were done with the lifestyle. They were done with the training. They were done making weight. It is the worst enemy you have, and it doesn't get fantasized or focused on enough. Dishavili's making weight. He just did it 3 weeks ago. That's a tough guy. That's a guy with grit. That's a guy that wants it. You get a call like that, you say yes, you got an airplane, you get licensed, and you make weight, you got my respect.
Yeah, and he's doing it because he wants to make himself unavoidable. Yep. There will be no questions when the next guy gets his opportunity. We've seen it time and time again. Guys weigh in as a backup fighter. They want to be next. They ultimately become next. And a lot of times, they become champion. Merab is making the right decision by stepping on that scale at 135 pounds. Round three, Chael. We are in Miami where they do things right. They're doing something wrong. The commission is now saying that the weigh-ins are from 9 to 10. But, Chael, here's the difference. It's usually 9 to 11. If you miss weight, Chael, between 9 and 10, you have an hour to make the weight, which in turns it to 9 to 11.
There is a number of nuances within the different athletic commissions, but yes, president of the ABC, Mike Mazzulli, has very much covered this. It just needed to be adopted. It seems like possibly they overthought this. But if I can't explain one thing, while you hear the weigh-ins are generally 9 to 11, and this one you got to go 9 to 10, and then you get to 11, make sure you don't misunderstand. If you do not get on the scale by 10 o'clock, you are scratched. You do not get a return until 11 if you're not on it by 10.
Yeah, you got to get on the scale before 10 o'clock, but honestly, and this is where the issue becomes with your boy. Hey, I might have grabbed the towel, but I was the champion. I had 2 hours. I was going to make the weight, Chael.
You were
going to
make the weight.
So why not just let me do it in Florida where you show up?
You made it for your next fight, remember?
Come on,
you made the weight.
But Florida Commission, don't be stupid. Just say 9 to 11. Let these people step on the scale as they make the weight because you really are just really making difficult, which is something that is not difficult anymore. Give the fighters the idea when they got to get on the scale. They will show up there as professional to try to make the weight, and then we get to go on with this great fight card. Macy Barber is on the fight card this weekend as we get to round number four. She was talking about a woman, but not in our weight class, and this is what she had to say.
I think it depends on the timing. Like, if it was like they're both at the same time, then it's like we gotta think about that one. But I'd take the easier one first, which I think is Juliana, and then I'd go and fight Alexa.
What makes Juliana more easier than Alexa?
I just don't think she's that great of a fighter.
Chael. Yeah. Macy Barber Chael, when she first got here, she told us she was going to be the youngest champion in history. She was going to be the best, the GOAT. She got ahead of herself. Is she doing it again?
I love it. I quite frankly love it. She was up on a set, just like we're doing right here, and I paid her a compliment. And this is back when she was undefeated and saying, I'm going to be the youngest fighter ever. I'm going to beat John Jones, who was the current youngest. And it was a really interesting marketing standpoint. It's like, God, they have to give her the opportunity if she remains undefeated because she's done such a great job with us. And I said that I really liked it. And she stopped the interview, and we were live, and she said, why? Now, I'm backing her up. I'm backing her move. And she said, why? Why do you like that? And I explained, well, you know, you're putting yourself in a pressure situation. I like that a guy like Babe Ruth will walk to the mound and tell you where he's going to hit the ball. It's a special thing. I like the way she markets. I think she looked good right there. I believe her. She's got one heck of a poker face, DC.
I like it. She is on a 5-fight win streak now. I would tell her, hold the horses just a little bit because we've been here before. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Macy Barber, don't fall victim to your own confidence. Round five. Guys, there is a guy making his debut this weekend. His name is Rebelis de Spain.
Yes.
He is a monster. He is 6'7". He is a judo Olympic champion from Cuba. His last three fights, Chael, have lasted 21 seconds. Yep. By some metrics, others 19 seconds.
Now, DC, I would never correct you other than he was actually an Olympian right after you were the next games. It was a bronze.
Oh,
it was
bronze.
Taekwondo.
Okay, bronze.
And you might remember.
Taekwondo.
Yeah, he's got the highlight video for hitting the spin kick knockout, putting the guy down for the bronze. He's an intimidating figure. I mean, there's not a lot of times you can say that, or you and me, that we would admit there's somebody that's intimidating just because of his size. This man's intimidating. He is special. God didn't make a lot of men his build.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is so good at what he's doing. But my question or my concern is when you're fighting people and you get through three of them in 7 seconds apiece, how good are they, Chael? I mean, there are padded records.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
But he's only got four fights. What happens when De Spain finds himself in the middle of the octagon and he runs into a little bit of trouble? We're going to find that out this weekend. But boy, a heavyweight prospect. Yep. Like that?
And every upset, partner, has the same element, which is, in any sport, an athlete finds himself in a contest that's harder than they thought it was going to be. And when you get used to getting people out of there quickly, you can fall susceptible to that.
Absolutely. This guy has an 87-inch reach, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you hear that analysis?
Yeah,
I mean,
dude,
you can't
really
get this analysis.
Oh, you're really good.
I said he had a spinning kick in the Olympics for the bronze medal.
I feel like we are not paying you enough. Like, this show does not deserve Uncle Chael. It just does not happen. Guys, every week, Chael and I, two times a week, your two favorite people in the whole world of mixed martial arts, we will be here. Get us wherever you get your podcast. Also, YouTube, ESPN2, ESPN+, it's Uncle Chael. It's your boy, DC. It's the good guy, the bad guy. We'll see you next time.